Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr today. And in a winter like this one, when there is snow, there is salt. Once the plows come out and the sidewalks are shoveled, salt keeps cars from skidding and people from falling on icy streets. And so far this winter, since Wednesday's storm was the fourth in the past few weeks, the supply of salt is drying up in some areas in the region. Here to talk about the potential salt shortages and the potential damage salt can cause is Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Dossey and Stephen Corsi, a research hydrologist for the U.S. Geological Survey. Josh and Stephen, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Hi, thank you for having me, too.
Sure, welcome, Stephen. So, Josh, let's start with you. We're talking about the potential for salt shortages after two storms this week and the storm that we may see this weekend, although it's not clear yet how many inches we've got coming tomorrow or Sunday. But, Josh, earlier this week you wrote about how certain towns and cities in the region are experiencing a salt shortage. Where are those shortages happening?
Sure. There are lots of shortages down in Jersey, particularly in the northern Jersey suburbs around New York City. A lot of the towns on Long Island have expressed concern bringing Governor Cuomo's administration to bring in extra salt to them. And there are shortages, in some parts of New York City, folks are concerned about shortages, though there have not been any shortages yet here.
And any changes to actually how those towns are salting their streets? Is there less salting happening? Is there less preemptive salting happening?
Well, for example, Anna, in Jersey City, the mayor told me this week that they were selectively salting certain streets, mainly thoroughfares and bigger streets where people drive, and choosing not to salt tertiary streets, or some at least, because they were concerned about a shortage.
And New York City is doing pretty well as far as how much salt we've got stored up?
Right. As of earlier this week, New York City still has about 150,000 tons left, and we started the season with about 350,000 tons. But the city has ordered extra salt throughout the winter because it has been so unrelenting.
And one of the things I loved about the piece that you did this week about the salt shortage is you sort of traced where this salt comes from and how much it costs for cities and municipalities. Where does this salt show up from?
Right. So there is a gargantuan mine in Chile that has, thousands of years worth of salt. And these major salt companies, that's where their supply begins. And then it's brought by boat to the U.S. and then it is taken to, stockpiles, around the country. And the salt costs $53, $54 a ton is what New York City pays for it. So it's a pretty expensive proposition.
Stephen Corsi, what is the makeup of road salt? How different is it from, say, table salt?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not controlled as well for consumption as table salt, but other than that, it's sodium chloride.
It's sodium chloride. So what happens? What are the potential drawbacks of when you dump layer after layer of the sodium chloride on our streets?
Well, eventually the salt has to have a place to go, and commonly what will happen is it will dissolve in the water that it melts from the snow and ice, and it'll run off either into our streams or lakes or possibly percolate down into our groundwater system.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, that's a really difficult thing to deal with. It's a very good question and one that's asked often. The issue is, there's a lot of different contaminants that run off of our urban streets, and most of them, or many of them, are attached to different particles and such. And so many of the management options for stormwater rely on settling of solids like sand and different particulate matter. Well, you can't do that with sand because it's dissolved. You can't do that with salt because it's dissolved. And so the typical management practices simply don't work, and it ends up getting away from us and getting into our streams, lakes, and groundwater systems.
And what are the consequences of that, either for wildlife or for human consumption?
Well, yeah, there's consequences with both. Some drinking water systems rely on groundwater as a source, and it's pretty common that those types of areas now are seeing increases of chloride and sodium in their drinking water supply. And at times, some wells have actually been shut down because the chloride level has gotten too high. And the impact on aquatic life is pretty evident as well. A lot of the work we've done has shown that concentrations exceed the recommended concentrations that EPA publishes nowadays. And not only in the winter, but during the summer periods now as well, because the groundwater systems and the surface water systems are connected. So we see that the water percolates down into the groundwater systems, and the groundwater acts as a reservoir of the salt, eventually making some of it eventually making its way laterally into the streams as base flow. It discharges through the stream banks into the streams as base flow. So the flow path can be maybe months to years for that to happen. The more direct effect, of course, is when it's running right from the streets and into the water bodies, and we'll see some pretty high concentrations going above concentrations that that impact toxicity to aquatic organisms.
And Stephen, you're in Wisconsin, another snowy place that is running low on road salt reserves, and you've just cataloged some of the environmental concerns about using lots of road salt. Are there any alternatives that municipalities can tap into?
Well, you know, there's a number of different approaches communities can take to reduce the salt in their water bodies. And the first thing is really managing how much is applied and taking a thoughtful approach on applying the actual salt itself. And so there's things that can be done to reduce the salt applications. There's also alternative de-icers, different chemicals that can be used to reduce the salt use. Now, I'll say there's no silver bullet. When you apply tons of different materials, whether it be sand or different chemicals and such on the land surface, there's always going to be an impact somehow. And so there's no perfect solution, but there's some solutions maybe that would reduce the impact. There's a ton of different things that have been used over the years, and nowadays, of course, in Wisconsin, they're trying cheese brine.
Yeah, that caught our eye in the New York Times. I want you to talk to me about that a little bit. Cheese brine on the roads. How does that keep things from getting icy?
Well, it's another version of salt, really. It's a brine is, of course, a dissolved salt solution. So there's still salt that gets in the waterways from that. The key here is that cheese brine in Wisconsin is cheap, and it can be used effectively as an anti-icing solution, which what that means is that they apply liquid de-icers, whether it be cheese brine, pickle brine, beet juice, or just a salt brine itself, before a storm hits, and it's on the dry pavement before any snow falls, and it reduces the chances of the snow or ice to bond to the pavement.
Huh.
And that makes our plows more effective.
Huh. So all you artisanal pickle briners out there in Brooklyn, here is your chance to help your city. Josh, I have another question for you about the impact of salt on our infrastructure. You may be familiar with this story here in New York. Con Ed blamed dangerous manhole explosions that blew out an apartment window and burned a car on road salt that eroded electrical wires underground. Is that a potentially dangerous consequence of road salt that we haven't been discussing?
Yes, I talked to the Con Ed officials yesterday, and they had battled several manhole fires overnight, particularly in Midtown. And they said, this was all too common when the streets were inundated with road salt. I mean, this year we've had about 350,000 tons of road salt put on New York City streets, and that's double what we had last year and like six times from 2 years ago. So it's really been just over and over and over again over this winter.
And what's that impact on roads? I mean, you've been talking to city officials about the cost of this in terms of sanitation worker overtime and that sort of thing. Are they concerned about needing to rebudget their pothole budget?
Well, the city has not yet released how expensive it has been for overtime and for all of the extra work they've had to do this winter. They say that those numbers will come at the end of the winter. They will give us a report. But it's certainly, you just look at the sheer financials of it, it's certainly becoming increasingly expensive for them to, you know, handle all of these storms.
We've got a call from Rita in Manhattan. We've been talking about public sources of road salt and what cities and municipalities use. Rita in Manhattan has a suggestion for private salting. Rita, what's your suggestion?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that my son uses kitty litter.
And does it work?
Yeah.
Kitty litter and sand, and those are some alternatives. Stephen, tell me about private usage of road salt. Do you suggest that New Yorkers who have to get out and clear out their sidewalk, their patch of sidewalk, should they be looking to alternatives to salt?
Well, that's a good question, and certainly a personal decision on how they want to deal with their own. They can do things like use alternatives, sand and kitty litter, and that's really you know, that the pavement is less slippery, and so they may not need to use the chemical de-icers if that's the case. There's also other alternative chemical de-icers in the stores that they can use that are different than salt.
We have a question from Phoebe in Bushwick on our show page. Maybe you, Josh, Stephen, know the answer to this. It seemed that this year here in New York, surfaces have been salted are more slippery than past years, even if the ice has melted away. Is there some kind of new chemical additive this year that might have caused this? Any difference to the salt that we're using in New York, Josh?
I'm not sure there's a difference in the salt. They have been adding some sorts of liquid solutions to work with the salt because of the cold temperatures. When the temperatures are increasingly cold, the salt doesn't work as well. So they've had to use liquid solution on many of the streets to catalyze the salt into working.
So what do towns, I've read that below 15 degrees Fahrenheit, salt doesn't really work to keep roads from icing over. We had a storm during a cold snap recently, and it's generally not been a problem here, but what do you use in colder places that get well below 15 degrees Fahrenheit? Josh?
I'm going to let Stephen take that, if that's okay.
Stephen, do you know the answer to that? What do towns who get colder than 15 degrees, what do they look to?
Well, most of them probably look to plows for stuff. And there's other chemicals that do work below 15 degrees. They're much more expensive than salt is. So, and then whether they have those chemicals on hand at the time is questionable. So really, the physical removal of snow is the most effective thing at those low temperatures.
What do places like airports use? Do they use typical road salt that we use on city streets?
They do not. They use, on the aircraft itself, they use mostly glycol-based de-icers. And on the pavement, they use things like potassium acetate. Primarily because the salt is corrosive, and none of us want to fly on planes that are corroded.
And salt is corrosive on our roads as well. Josh, is there conversation about that in the city?
I think the city, for the most part, Anna, is just trying to get through this winter. I mean, it's stockpiling more and more salt. I think as long as these storms keep coming, there really are no alternatives, at least in the city's estimation.
And residents who are always quite anxious to get that ice and snow out of the roads. We'll have to leave it there for today. My guests have been Josh Dossie, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and Stephen Corsi, a research hydrologist for the U.S. Geological Survey. Josh and Stephen, thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Thank you.